Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
2 plus 2 is... Now you gotta guess. Okay, you can't see it, but I'm holding up a flash card. Remember those things when you're holding up those flash... See, now James is laughing, of course, right now, because James is who I'm speaking with, the founder slash CEO slash president slash chef slash go-to guy of Positive Motion is the name of the company, and their first product is called Mobile Prep. And essentially what they've done with this product is they've taken the idea of flash cards and put it on mobile devices. Am I right, James?
Yes, that's correct.
So I take it the flashcard market has been largely underserved in the mobile space.
Yes, exactly. And flashcards is pretty much the only tool out there that would generically work for memorizing in any arbitrary subject. So anything from SATs to law students studying for the bar exam to bartenders trying to memorize drink mixes, they all put them on flashcards. And so that's a tool that's proven over time, and they're very cumbersome to carry. They're heavy. The more you study, the more you have to carry with you. And so having them on a cell phone, which just about everybody carries with them at all times, just makes a lot of sense.
So is this software that runs on a cell phone, or is it a web-based app?
It's actually a software that runs on a cell phone so that as you repetitively go through the flashcards, which is the way you commit things to memory, you're not incurring any further airtime. So okay. It's not a website that you go to.
So how does one construct a stack of cards?
Yes. So what we have is we allow you to go to the website on your PC in this case, and we have a very easy interface where you can just type in the flashcards, and you can stop at any time and come back to it later, or you can have everything in the file offline and just upload in one go, and then we put it right into the library. And the great thing about this is that not only can you get it on your cell phone and use it, but you can actually put a price tag on it, and it's sold to other students that may find it interesting, that taking the same classes you're taking, or you know, future students. Now, for the rest of your life, essentially, you can be earning money off the deck of flashcards you created for, you know, chemistry 205, you know, way back when. So we have a mechanism that allows you to create your own flashcards very easily to use for yourself and to share with others.
So does the software cost money itself?
The software, Mobile Prep itself, yes, it does cost money. It's a one-time charge, and the price point is very low. It's $5.
That's easy. Yeah. That's a given.
Yeah. And the flashcards, the content itself varies. You know, depends on what people charge. I mean, the people creating the flashcards presumably will have the best handle on what the market will bear. So if I'm taking the Econ 205 class, and I know this professor has a set of things that he or she likes very much, I know my fellow students will pay a couple dollars for it, or $10 for it, or, you know, whatever I can give away for free if I just want to make friends. And so I'll set the price on that for that, and I can put it on MySpace, Facebook, whatnot, spread the word out, and you know, promote my cards, but also for Positive Motion, we'll have a lot of promoters out there helping us get the word out.
Oh, certainly. Now, where did you guys come up with this idea? I mean, flashcards aren't exactly new.
Right. Actually, I came in on the mobile arena through games, and games, of course, is probably the application that you find on cell phones these days. And I first had the idea for just making some location-based games a few years ago when I was overseas doing some research. And folks overseas are very big into cell phones, much more than the States. And I just saw the exciting possibilities of that. And I came back and I started creating these games just to, you know, get my energy out and create something that I liked. But I pretty quickly realized that the game industry is something that I didn't feel that satisfied committing everything I had to. I love playing games, I like creating them, but I wanted to do something that was a good use of time rather than just, you know, that downtime, I don't want to waste that time. If I'm waiting for the bus myself, I think I get too frustrated to actually waste that time on games. You know, I'd want to do something that is towards something positive. So when I go home, I don't break out the books and study. I can go home and do something else and watch TV, play with my friends or whatnot. You know, so I was thinking of something that can take downtime and turn it into productive time. And education is one of the first things that came to mind. I love learning. I always had a bit of a problem with school, but I always loved learning. So I decided that students are always focused on getting things done. They have exams. They have these deadlines, and the closer you get to the deadline of finals or an SAT or something, the harder you cram, the more nervous you get. And so this is the sort of timeline that you're on. And flashcards become very handy as you get close to the deadline. And putting on cell phones is just, you know, that point of a pretty small leap.
Is it a rich type of interface, or is it still text-based, your flashcards?
It's actually text-based at the moment. And we do have graphics and sound in the works and testing. But right now, because most handsets out there don't support a lot of memory that graphics would need and sound would need, we don't want to have things out there where a lot of people can't use it. But we have those things going, particularly for foreign language. You know, having sound would be just ideal. And for certain subjects, you know, graphics are necessary.
How are young kids taking to it? I mean, really young kids. Like, you know, I'm not kidding. I mean, I remember using flashcards when I was a kid. You know, the 2 plus
yes.
2 is what, or 2 times 2?
Yes, we're actually looking at kids that are more high school. But if you're looking at tweens and just, you know, grammar school kids, the penetration of cell phones is actually surprisingly high in those areas. Although we're not targeting that crowd just yet ourselves. So I you know, can't really speak to that point, because I think the motivation for studying and the determination that you find in students, you find basically in the high school students and the college students and graduate students, people who want to make further, go down the road and get into graduate school or get into college, you know, they want to pass that particular exam. Another big area we're looking at is a continuing education. That's probably the hugest market out there. You know, dentists that have to renew their licenses, nurses, real estate agents that have to get certified, you know, those folks, they all have some sort of goal they're heading towards, and we want to help them get there. With grammar school kids, I think a lot of that are teachers really have to go and motivate the kids. That's the biggest thing, biggest thing. And I remember as a kid, you know, my biggest thing was going home watching cartoons, you know, so my motivation was definitely lower when I didn't appreciate, you know, the rewards of school as much.
So what other products are you guys working on over at Positive Motion?
Well, we got a few things lined up. We're looking at, this is an entryway to students' education, but we're looking at mobile prep and other products to be more an integrated part of a student's, you know, arsenal of tools, not just a study aid, but actually an integrated part of what they need to study. And towards that end, we're working with instructors, with institutions, and have these things be assessment tools, for instance. Well, one of the biggest things that instructors have to get past is assessing how well their students are doing. And instructors hate doing quizzes, and students hate taking quizzes, and instructors have to grade them, which they don't like. But that's the only way they can figure out how well their lessons are getting through to the students. So we have these tools that allow the students to respond to quizzes that the instructors create to be anonymous. You know, some students just don't feel like they want to reveal themselves, not really have been studious. But the instructors still want to know what points came across in lectures. So they can take these quizzes when they're waiting online, the cafeteria or whatnot, you know, and the instructors will immediately see, all right, everybody tanked on question 3, let me concentrate on that a little more next lesson. So that's immensely valuable to instructors.
Wait a minute. So you're changing the whole idea of quizzes and how they work.
It's a sort of an evolution from flashcards. We have this feedback mechanism. And from there, it becomes a sort of a quiz, an anonymous quiz, but then we have a secured quiz that's also integrated into, it's integrated into a web interface where the instructor can see the grades. It's interfaced into a PowerPoint so they can actually use it in class and take a classroom poll. It goes all over the place. It's pretty exciting. We haven't actually rolled that out yet. It's coming out in the next month or two, so you're getting a bit of a special preview of that.
Yeah,
so that's
almost like the quiz is helping the teacher more than it's helping the students, which,
yes,
of course, helps the students.
Exactly. And students, as much as they may rebel, you know, on campus against things, they're not going to rebel against a teacher who says, buy this textbook or take this quiz. You know, they're there to learn, ultimately. So having these tools that help the instructors makes life easier for everybody. Everybody wins.
Do you think teachers are going to adopt this, though? I mean, that's kind of a huge leap.
It is. Educational institutions are very conservative, you know, and very traditional, and they have a lot of inertia against adopting new technology, which is why we're taking this two-pronged approach, having the students use mobile prep because it's useful for them just to study, And we're also going through, we're in dialogue with a number of institutions where they will adopt this tool, you know, to pilot on their classes and see if it makes life easier for the instructors. And now, if it does, then everybody's happy.
When you say institutions, I'm assuming you mean educational institutions,
yes,
not like
yes.
rubber walls, you know, woohoo, they're coming to take me away institutions, right?
No, yeah, we're talking about the ivory towers. They haven't hit the rubber walls yet. I haven't hit that yet.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you use that word, you know, because a lot of crazy people out there, you know.
Don't I know it.
So really, I know the idea of flashcards, like I said, has been around for a while. Has anybody developed something like this, like for the Palm platform or for the Pocket PC or even the BlackBerry?
Yeah, PDAs they're basically little computers. And a lot of applications for those things. Including study aids. And problem with PDAs is penetration is so incredibly low. You know, I think it's less than 10% in the student market. And students just can't afford that, particularly high school students and such. So it's not easy to transfer technology you do for a PDA to your mobile phone. PDAs are very powerful things. Mobile phones are these tiny little things that are very restricted. But yes, to answer your question, there have been things done for PDAs and certainly for PCs. So there's a lot of overlap in that area. Another thing, to speak to your point about other things rolling out, a feature that's rolling out within the next few weeks is something I'm pretty excited about. We call them flash cubes. And these are things that are directed more at medical students and law students. And those folks have a really hard time fitting everything onto these little index cards for their flash cards. But they always have a stack of flash cards with them because they have to memorize all these things. For instance, lawyers, for every case law, they have to know the background, the facts, you know, the rule of law analysis, the ruling, the judgment, you know, all those things. And what it comes down to is basically a one-to-many relationship that you have. And so it's not just the word and the definition, but, you know, a lot of things associated with that particular term or word. And on an index card, you see these people cramming the things in, you know, writing things sideways, highlighting things, circling things. What we have is basically on a cell phone, you have a whole keypad. So what we do is every time we press 2, you know, the rule of law will come up. Every time we press 3, the judgment will come up. We separate these things and create an interface that allows them to easily digest particular things they're studying. So pharmacists, medical students, you know, if you're studying the parts of your body, the elbow, you want to know what the ligaments are, what the nerves are, what the muscles are. And every time you press 4, you see what the common elements are. Every time you press 5, you see what the remedies are. So that becomes a very useful way to focus on particular areas of studies. And that's something that, you know, it's a bigger departure from just a piece of flashcard on a cell phone. It's something that, you know, has a different twist to it.
Now, you've talked a lot about students. Have you thought about just kind of expanding it, you know, beyond the students or just anybody who wants to learn or just loves trivia?
Definitely. There's a lot of potential for expanding beyond just students. Students, I think, is a low-hanging fruit. But, trivia, Scrabble, you know, a lot of areas that people be into this. And, again, continuing education, which I guess in a sense is also students. But the actors, you know, the cues and the lines, you know, you can create your own flashcards. So basically anyone, that's going somewhere, you know, reaching for something in their life, is going towards something that I would see as becoming a bit of an expert in some area, right? So you talk to somebody who's good in construction, they know the stuff, they know the lingo, they know the terms. How do they know that stuff? It's from having worked it, having memorized it. I have a good friend from Fire Engine 1 back in New York, and I was having a conversation with him, and I was just asking, like, what do you guys do when there's no fire? You know, do you guys just, you know, climb the, you know, the little poles and everything? And he's like, well, we actually sit around making flashcards, which blew me away because we weren't talking about my, you know, my venture at all. And everybody's trying to, you know, climb up in life, you know, and try and make lieutenant or something. So I think any field you're looking at, if people are aspiring to go to the next station in life, they have to become a bit of, you know, an expert in their area. And that comes from knowing the stuff more than the layperson.
And be able to operate a flashcard.
Yes.
Because they're kind of hard. I mean, when I first picked one up, I didn't know am I supposed to look at the answer? Is it like a Jeopardy thing where they give me the question? So you've completely eliminated that problem.
Yeah, in fact, we've taken that and made it even better in the sense that we take the flashcard content and automatically generate these quizzes so that you get the definition first, the backside, if you will. And then you get the multiple choices for what the correct front side is, which is what we face in real life a lot. I mean, as a journalist, you will know a lot of times you have these phrases, and you're like, what's the word I'm looking for to describe this phrase? You know, and on flashcards, you typically have, you know, the words and the definition on the back. But now we give it the definition. We say, oh, which one is the word that fits that definition that you're looking for? And it's all automatically generated. So it's just an infinite number of those things. It comes from the content. And that's just a freebie that comes along with the fact that this is on a handset that's interactive and it has a little computer in it.
But the only problem is, like, if that cell phone is connected on the internet, mm-hmm. I could easily get the question on the flashcard, flip over to my web browser, go to Google, figure out the answer, and then answer the question.
This is true. You can always find ways to, I guess, cheat is the word you're looking for. But anytime if somebody gives you a quiz, a take-home exam or something to do on the PC where a lot of schools are dealing, those options are available to the students.
Yes.
So I think one person was asking at one point how this would fit in the classroom if somebody's taking a written quiz and you have a cell phone, you can flip through the flashcards. And my answer to that was, well, first of all, the flashcards are shuffled, they're randomized. And so you're flipping through a lot of flashcards before you find the one you want. And if you're going to do that, you might as well write the answer on your hand. A lot quicker to just roll up your sleeve and go, oh, there's the answer, write it down. So cheating.
Not to mention they should just ban cell phones from classrooms altogether.
Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.